Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're going to continue our discussion with Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place about domestic violence. Last week, we talked about how prevalent it is, and we'll review that very briefly. In short, it's very prevalent, and it's not just physical. It's emotional and mental abuse that takes place both ways, men to women, women to men. And of course, the physical violence is what usually finishes it off sometimes and really destroys relationships. And we're going to talk about the effects of it, but we just want to very briefly, just recap what we did last week in terms of how prevalent it is. And let me say hello to Gidi Hansen, who is a marriage and family therapist registered intern with The Growing Place. We'll give her number out if you have any issues that you want to deal with and talk to her about them in your life. But good morning to you, Gidi. Good
morning.
I'm glad you're with us. I know you're fighting off a bit of a cold.
I'm fighting a cold, so my voice may sound a little funny.
Okay, well we'll bear with us, and
you'll do
just fine. Let's just briefly recap. I know we talked a little bit, and I don't know if you have those numbers with you in front of us.
Yeah, actually I do.
Just to remind people how prevalent domestic violence is in our society.
It's so prevalent, and it's just as prevalent inside the church as outside. Uh-huh. That's something we have to remember. On the average, 25 people per minute are victims of rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner in the United States. That's more than 12 million women and men over the course of just 1 year. And 3 in 10 women, or 29%, and 1 in 10 men, or 10%, in the U.S. have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by a partner and report a related impact on their functioning. So this is just those people who are giving reports, which means the numbers are much higher.
And we of course, see a lot of stories locally and certainly nationally and involving the National Football League in particular, involving domestic violence. And that certainly has brought the issue to the forefront. But as Gidi is saying, it's not just this type of domestic violence. Disputes happen in the church, it happened in your neighborhoods, maybe even right next door, maybe to your next door neighbor. I mean, we don't know what goes on in people's lives when the doors are closed, and it's much more prevalent than I think we realize.
It is, and it's not only, as you said earlier, physical. It can be sexual, emotional, psychological, economic. It's a wide range of things.
Okay, and so I think what we wanted to talk about today is specifically what kind of problems they cause. I know we talked briefly last week about some of the problems it could cause for children in the relationship.
Yes,
but we probably want to talk a little bit about that. But first, just why
people do this.
Well, we're going to talk about
why do people
get like this?
This is amazing because it's so easy to dehumanize the perpetrator and to just see him as a monster. But he's a human being, or he or she. This person is made in the image and likeness of God. Somebody God loves, for whom he died, sent his son to die. So the number one factor is low self-esteem and emotional insecurity. People who make other people feel worthless themselves.
I saw the term, and maybe you're not familiar with it, it's called gaslighting, where somebody tries to inflame something by saying something that is untrue about somebody.
That's from an old movie called Gaslight,
where
a guy wanted to drive his wife crazy so he could have her put away. And it was back before electricity when they had gas lighting, and he would make the gas light flicker, and he would make her hear voices and stuff. And when she would say, "Honey, are the lights flickering?" he would say no. So it's a form of psychological abuse, and that does happen with interpersonal violence.
So that's the derivation of the term gaslighting from that movie.
Yes.
You know, I wondered that too, and I'm glad you confirmed that, because I actually thought that was the case, and now I know.
Yeah.
It makes me have to go see the movie now. It's a good film, I think.
It is.
And have you seen it?
It's kind of frightening.
Oh, maybe I don't want to see it then.
I mean, not compared to today's stuff, but to see the power of psychological abuse. So the guy goes through, or the gal goes through her anger cycle. And when you're in the honeymoon phase, and we'll get deeper into this in our next show, but when you're in the honeymoon phase, it's like, it's so easy to forget. This guy could be violent. This guy could lash out at me when he reaches that part of his cycle. Is it my fault? Am I losing my mind? This is all part of the psychological abuse.
Okay. We'll continue. I got sidetracked on the gaslighting issue.
That's okay. So low self-esteem and emotional insecurity, and then anger management issues. The perpetrators don't know how to deal with their anger. And they've learned to just lash out and hurt somebody. And it actually creates an emotional and psychological release for them. There's also a need to control others. And that goes back to the insecurity. You know, we often think of controlling people as people who need power. But it's actually the feeling of being powerless that drives people to control others. People who know their own, who have self-empowerment, allow others to have self-empowerment.
Well, I've heard of what's called the narcissistic personality, and there's two schools of thought. One of them is that a person who has a narcissistic viewpoint has a low self-esteem, but then there's some who say, no. People who are narcissistic have an overly inflated view of themselves, and but so I'm not sure what to believe on that.
This is really good. This is the key to that. Whether it's underinflated or overinflated, it's not the right inflation.
Okay, it's not healthy.
It's not healthy. So it's driving the behavior, whether they think too much or too little of themselves, it's leading to the narcissistic behavior.
Interesting. And to explain to those who don't know, narcissistic behavior is a behavior which is totally self-centered on that one themselves.
Yes, and it's a personality disorder. It's a clinical term. People can have narcissistic tendencies without having the disorder. So it's a personality disorder where there's no empathy for others. Everything is self-centered. Everything revolves around me.
And that could lead to types of abuse.
Absolutely, because you don't care what you're doing to the other person.
We're speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a marriage and family therapist registered intern. You can give her a call if you're looking for some issues that you want to take care of. 588-0448, 588-0448. We'll continue our discussion after the break.
This is Live Local Talk.
Such an interesting discussion we've been having on Wednesdays with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you have any matters that you and your family want to take care of, Gidi's a wonderful person to talk to. Her number is 588-0448, 588-0448, The Growing Place. My family, in fact, has have gone to get some counseling from her, some minor issues that we had to deal with, and she was wonderful, and I would highly recommend her. 588-0448 at The Growing Place. We're talking about domestic violence, which has certainly been in the news with Gidi. I know there's some other issues we wanted to talk about in terms of why people engage in domestic violence of all kinds.
Okay, and then another factor is alcohol or substance abuse. As we know, it alters brain chemistry, it alters personality. And so somebody who can be very peaceful when they're not high or drunk, think of people on meth or people who get violent when they get drunk, suddenly the substance flips them over into another side of their personality.
And so, but sometimes the substance gives them a more welcoming personality. Isn't that the case?
Sometimes. It depends on the individual.
I was always a happy drunk when I was a kid.
When you were a kid.
When I was a young man, I was a happy drunk. But not everybody reacts to alcohol that way.
No, not at all. But it can really, really trigger it. And women live in dread of that, or men. I keep saying women because the majority are women who are being abused. But we have to remember, men are being abused by women, and it's humiliating for them.
There are a lot of women who are alcoholics themselves.
Yes.
It's not unusual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we have depression and anxiety. When you put the anger cycle and you overlay that with the depression and anxiety cycle, it can drive a perpetrator. Now, we're not saying people who are anxious and depressed become perpetrators. We're just looking at the profile of the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody who uses alcohol and substances becomes a perpetrator. But very often the perpetrator uses alcohol mm-hmm. and substances. Very often they are depressed and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they do have low self-esteem and anger management issues. So we have to remember we're looking at the perpetrator and moving back towards the roots. We're not saying everybody who has these roots are going to end up becoming a perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have stress relief. And I know this sounds really, really awful, but the truth is people who are addicted to anger and hurting others, it helps them relieve stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old idea, you know, I got kicked around by the boss at work, so now I'm going to come home and I'm going to kick the cat and I'm going to kick the wife and I'm going to kick the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel better about myself. Then we have poor interpersonal and parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just never learn how to get along with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They never learn the give and take. They never learn to allow for differences, different perspectives. They're threatened if their wife says or does anything
mm-hmm.
that's contrary to what they think should be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the kid won't stop crying, they don't know how to placate a child or how to discipline a child properly or give the child that secure base that the child needs. And so the lashing out in anger, in using manipulation, which is psychological abuse, or physical abuse, or sexual abuse, or financial abuse, to try to control the other person.
You say children, and it made me think about when does somebody no longer become a child? But then I started thinking when it pertains to issues like emotion and psychology, almost never. I mean, we carry these things into our lives, into our 20s. I don't think there's not a point where you say, okay, my son or my daughter is this age, therefore they can be treated differently at this time. They still have the same issues and emotions that they carry on in their lives, so into the rest of to as long as they live.
That's so true. In fact, there's a perspective in psychology that talks about the inner child, which mm-hmm. means it doesn't matter what your chronological age is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a childlike aspect within each of us that never grows up, but
mm-hmm.
the child can become more mature.
Mm-hmm.
The child can become more informed. I call it in therapy updating the child. If the child is stuck at 5 years old in a abuse situation, that child can get updated information that I'm not in an abuse situation anymore. I can let go of this hypervigilance or whatever it is that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. We all have inner children.
I'm speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. They're located over at 1074 East Avenue. The place is... as you might guess, it's growing. It is a growing place. It's getting more popular. More people who have marriage and family issues will find themselves going there as opposed to going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You're getting some help that can be a little bit more expensive and maybe not is necessary. And I would recommend if you have some issues just individually or with your family that you'd like to talk over, The Growing Place, Gidi Hansen is a wonderful person to help with your issues. Her number is 588-0448. When you were talking to us, we have one more segment, but you brought up an interesting point here. All of us seem to have some sort of personality disorders, what I'm starting to notice, because you mentioned everybody has degrees of a depression, degrees of insecurity, degrees of being too full of yourself. I mean, everybody has that. There's no person on this earth who's ever walked this earth, with the exception of Jesus, who was the perfect human being.
You're
so
right.
So when we talk about this, and we'll talk about this after the break, is that all of us are in some way or another, to a degree, victims and perpetrators, perhaps, of some type of domestic violence, even in a small way, because none of us have perfect personalities to begin with. All of us are scarred and marred in some way or another, and maybe that's just my amateur psychologist, but I'd be curious to see what Gidi thinks about that. We'll finish up our discussion this week on domestic violence right after this break.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
I always enjoy speaking to Gidi Hansen on Wednesdays. I found myself learning a lot about myself, about my wife, my kids. I feel like I get a free therapy session here when I talk to her. And her name is Gidi Hansen, a marriage and family therapist, registered intern with The Growing Place. Her number is 588-0448. We've been talking about domestic violence, and one of the things I said going into the break, Gidi, was that it seems like none of us are perfect human beings. Very few of us are going to go out and actually physically harm somebody and send somebody to the hospital to cause some kind of problems. But all of us are capable, certainly, of going down that path. And it's kind of frightening to think how close to the edge, I bet, many more people are than we realize.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, because we are sinful, we're fallen, we're flawed, we all have tendencies. We may not have enough of the traits or the criteria to be labeled with a specific disorder, mm-hmm. but we all have tendencies towards one disorder or another, and it's stress mm-hmm. that brings it out. As long as we're not being stressed, we can function. We can function in the home, on the job, in school, in social situations. But when that stress level goes up, then those little cracks in our personality or in our thinking mm-hmm. begin to show.
It's like you say cracks. It's almost like a fault line, like
exactly.
an earthquake.
Exactly.
Where there's too many cracks, it can't withstand it all. And like San Andrea Fault, it erupts.
Oh, that's a beautiful example. I'm going to remember that to use with my clients.
I have my moments.
It is like a fault line. And as long as the earth isn't rumbling and putting uh-huh. pressure there, you're fine. But once the pressure comes on, that's when we realize what's going on in ourselves.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, gosh. What you're saying is that there is probably more out there than people realize.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these perpetrators grew up with violence.
Is there a common theme in terms of the stress? Is it financial? Is it what is it? Work-related? What is it that generally speaking?
It can be anything. For instance, let's say somebody grew up with violence.
Uh-huh.
And as long as they're not being stressed, they're nonviolent.
Mm-hmm.
But they make a choice to become violent. And I'm not a fatalist. I don't believe because you grew up with something, you go out and you replicate it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a much better chance of replicating if it's been imprinted in your personality.
I guess what I was asking, Gidi, is among clients that you know, research that you've done, is there a common element that creates the fault to shake, the stress line?
Yes, and these are the ones I'm going over right now.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you, you're depressed or anxious or you need to control others or you have anger management issues does not mean you're going to become a perpetrator mm-hmm. of interpersonal violence. But it means you have a much higher likelihood when the stress is elevated to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So these folks, they grew up with the abuse in the home. It's normal to them. Mm-hmm. It's natural to them. People wonder, why do women marry abusers if they were abused as a child?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason often is that's what seems normal. They're not attracted to non-abusive people.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are like aliens to them. Unless they're willing to break out of their comfort zone and break out of the mold and be willing to try to live with somebody who maybe isn't violent
mm-hmm.
or isn't using substances or, you know.
But there. Oh, go ahead. You have some other things you wanted to
mention. Well, there's just one more category I wanted to talk about, and this is the hardest one to talk about. Some people actually enjoy hurting other people.
Uh-huh.
They're not high. It's not about control. It's not about depression. It's not about anxiety. They actually get pleasure out of hurting other people.
That's the one that would be impossible to fix, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the sociopath. That's the mm-hmm. Antisocial disorder, which, as far as I know, there is no known treatment for that.
Other than the
Except
Holy Spirit.
God. Yeah,
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some people just enjoy it.
That's hard to understand.
It's very hard to understand.
And sometimes when we get into discussions talking, when we have in the past about some of the things that happened with the violence in the Middle East, with the Muslims. Sometimes I keep wondering, anybody that likes to commit such grisly acts, they must enjoy it, which is why sometimes I wonder whether you can negotiate with those people. But that's a whole different topic.
Well, think of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
He was a vegetarian because he thought eating animals was cruel. He almost elevated animals above human beings, and yet exterminating, quote-unquote, the vermin of millions of people was okay.
Yeah, that's sociopathic behavior.
Yes, right? Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other final? Next week we're going to be talking about
the effects of interpersonal violence,
uh-huh.
and either next week or in a following week, treatments. So uh-huh. people, if they have this issue in their marriage and their family, and they want to get help, they have an idea of what's in store if they were to come in for treatment.
Uh-huh. How do people know when they need to come in for treatment?
Usually, when it becomes intolerable.
Okay.
The counselor or the therapist sees the person when they can no longer live with it.
Uh huh.
And it can be also the perpetrator who can no longer live with it. It's uh-huh. not always just the victim.
Uh-huh. It's so hard to get people to acknowledge it, though, isn't it? To acknowledge that there's an issue.
Yeah, and I have found, generally speaking, it's hard for all of us to acknowledge our issues.
Uh-huh.
We want to rationalize. We want to normalize. We want to blame someone else. You know, we don't want to take responsibility. And this is such a volatile topic.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a person with low self-esteem to begin with, and then to have to admit to the whole world they've got these problems.
Right. Well, fortunately, but it's done in secret, though, when you're talking at the growing
place.
It's done
in confidentiality.
Yes. And let's talk briefly about that while we have just a couple more minutes left, because I think we covered the areas we wanted to cover today and what we're going to be covering next week. Tell us about the Growing Place for people who don't know, and why somebody would want to go to the Growing Place as opposed to going through a different medical group if they needed some type of help.
Well, we're a unique location. We're a unique facility in Chico. There are three parts of what we offer to the public. We offer psychotherapy by licensed interns or registered interns or licensed marriage and family counselors. We offer life coaching, which is different from counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And we also offer education. We have classes and we have groups. We kind of cover all the bases.
Interesting.
And we have a Christian perspective, but we also welcome people of any faith or no faith.
Very good. Edie Hansen of The Growing Place, if you want to, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Your voice sounded just fine.
Well, great.
Real good. Okay.
Thank God.
Edie Hansen of The Growing Place, if you'd like to give them a call and you could use some counseling for you or your family about any type of issues, you should give her a call. Her number is 588-0448. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk with you tomorrow. So long.